Well, once again, let me call you to Romans chapter 8. We're going to continue looking at this very profound passage. Today we're going to be in verse 29. And I was reminded this week that we live in a world of falsehoods and filters. To prove my point, some of you believe that was real. Some of my children believe that was real, at least for a little while. But we live in a world of falsehood and filters. Modern technology can change who you are. It can change how you present yourself. It can create a false narrative that you particularly want the world to believe, though I don't know why anybody would want to believe that. And actually, that looks pretty good. My head is really bumpy, and so it wouldn't look good. It's not going to look good when this actually happens. But so many people are putting forth so much effort to pretend to be somebody they're not. And it's making human connection very difficult in the world in which we live. Because people can't live beyond their online persona and actually be comfortable with their real persona. If they're feeling bloated, then they'll use a thinning filter. If they've got acne, then they'll use a smooth skin filter. If they've got brown eyes, they'll use a blue-eyed filter. If they're too short, they'll hold the camera down here. If they've got a double chin, they'll hold it up here and turn their head slightly sideways so that they can get a better shot. Every day we wake up and it's possible to pretend to be somebody that we're not. We are conditioned to yearn for that Rick and Morty alternate reality. Maybe I exist in a better plane in a different universe. And we don't ever really have to deal with our true selves. Every day, we have a choice whether or not we're going to be filtered by God's plan or whether or not we're going to concoct our own filter. And God's plan for us, according to Romans 8:28, is to live with some certainty. We know that all things, the promise is complete. God works for good. There is a compassionate God at work in the universe, but the promise is conditional. Just like so many of the promises in the Scripture, it is for those who have a genuine love for God, not a genuine love of God. And there's a great difference between the two. Having a love for God is completely different than having a love of God. I'm afraid that churches all across the world today are filled, particularly in the Western world, are filled with people who have a love of God, but they don't have a love for God. And you have to know the difference between the two, because when you have a love for God, your behavior is different than if you have a love of God. But the promise is also conditional, not only to have a love for God, but it's conditional to have an obedient commitment to Jesus Christ. Listen, God is interested in making an entire family of people just like Jesus. That's our destiny. That's our destination. It is what God has already predetermined. And that's what we want to talk about today. You've often heard it said that God has a plan for your life. We used to say it all the time when we were learning how to share our faith. You need to talk to somebody that God has a wonderful plan for your life. Well, we've since taken that word wonderful out because everything that happens in your life may not be wonderful, but it's still part of God's plan. Remember the cookie analogy? Every ingredient of the recipe comes together to make something good, but every ingredient in the recipe may be really bitter to have to swallow on its own. But God's plan is a plan that enhances His kingdom on earth through you. His kingdom on earth through you. You get to be an active participant. So here we go. Romans 8, 28 and verse 29. We're going to concentrate on 29 today. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, right? And who have been called according to His purpose. Now let's look at verse 29. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many believers or brothers and sisters. That's His extension of the promise. The promise results in his plan. And when you live according to Romans 8:28, then you act it out according to Romans 29. While Snapchat changes their filters regularly, God does not. God does not. The promise of verse 28 expands on your purpose in verse 29. And your purpose starts with the fact that you have always been chosen by God. The word is foreknew. You have always been chosen by God. I can take you to the Old Testament and list scripture after scripture of how God knew you, even while you were in your mother's womb. But let's look at 1 Thessalonians. He chose you to be a part of his family, or 2 Thessalonians. We'll always thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning, God chose you and saved you through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. Before God ever created planet Earth, before he ever spun the galaxies into existence, before you were ever conceived, God knew you and he chose you to be a part of his family. Creation was about God building his family, and that's the truth. What you would use as a filter to change you, God knew. If you would use a filter to make yourself taller or thinner or lighter or darker, if you would use a filter to change your vocal pitch, or if you would use a filter to add or subtract hairs from your head, which are numbered, God knew. And even before he made the world, Ephesians says, God loved us and chose us, look at this, in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. In Christ is the condition. Holiness without fault is the promise. How do you get in Christ? It's a choice you have to make. You have to choose to believe in and belong to Jesus Christ. Some people get tripped up on the word chose or the word foreknow because they believe it to say that, well, God chose some people and they're the ones that are going to go to heaven, but everybody else is going to be lost. There's no hope for them. There's only an elect few. And the Bible never says that. In fact, the Bible teaches that God wants every person to find salvation through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Peter, who understood this very well, reminds us in 2 Peter chapter 3 that the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. So if you can perish, but you can avoid perishing by repenting, there's a choice involved in the matter. The Old Testament reminds us that our God is a jealous God. If God has already picked those who are going and those who aren't going, why would he be jealous? He wants everybody to pick him. He wants everybody to have a love for him. The Greek word is prognostikos. It's where we get the word prognosis or prognosticator. Prognostication is what happens every night when you turn on the local news and you watch the weatherman. And he tries to prognosticate or to give you a prognosis of what this front and this storm and this low pressure ridge is going to do, and it bumps into this high pressure system, and he's wrong almost all the time. And the females aren't any better. It doesn't matter who's giving you your weekly weather report. They're typically off. I had Dr. Neil Frank come to First Baptist Church Baytown when I was there. And he spoke to us and he said, you want to know why I never give you more than a three-day forecast? It's because I don't know what's going to happen the next 24 hours, let alone the next 7 days. That's right out of Dr. Neil Frank's mouth. But it's where we get that word. But the Greek word is a little bit different than the word that you and I have. It does mean or have the connotation of forecast, but it's not this is what might happen, it's this is what is designed to happen. God has ordained what he wants for your life. And as you become a willing participant in that plan, that forecast begins to unfold. He sees the big, beautiful picture of what your life could be for his kingdom. What impact you could have based on your uniqueness and your individuality that is filtered through him, not filtered through yourself or through the other things of the world. His forecast for your life is the difference that you can make if you live the life of power and hope of the perfect promise of Romans 8:28. God is not guessing, because your life is already forecast to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That is the prognosis for your life. That is the forecast for your life. That forecast comes to bear when you choose to live for kingdom purpose. And that's where we get to the word predestination or predestined. You've always been chosen by God. But because he's a jealous God, he wants you to choose him in return. And the reason he wants you to choose him is because there is a purpose for you in his kingdom. Verse 29, you're predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that Jesus might be raised up as the firstborn of the brothers and sisters that are around you. The whole purpose of Romans 8:28 is to teach us that God has an eternal plan and that God is active in trying to reproduce himself in each of us because he wants a big family here on earth. It's the only way other people that live a life of hopelessness are going to find hope is through us. God's purpose in working things together for good is not so that you can be blessed or happy. This is where a love of God and a love for God gets confused. God's purpose is to make me blessed and God's purpose is to make me happy, and therefore I'm going to have a love of God while these things are happening. But when life gets hard and happiness and goodness doesn't seem to be coming my way, when the ingredients of my life right now are bitter, a love of God goes away, but a love for God remains. But you are predestined, it is predetermined, the forecast for your life is that you would be conformed to the image of his son. He's doing everything that he can possibly do to help you be like Jesus. In the good things that happen in your life, he wants you to be like Jesus. In the bad things that happen in life, he wants you to be like Jesus. He wants you to be an active participant in working these things out. God is not finished with you at salvation. You don't make a profession of faith and then get dunked and then think, I'm safe, I'm secure, life is good. But if you are willing to live up to the forecast for your life, a forecast that is already predestined for you to be conformed to the image of his son, then God will continue to shape you until you reflect his image perfectly. That's the filter that we need to apply. That's the filter that changes us. He makes us something different than when we started out. Let me change my words here. He never leaves us alone in the process of us trying to become something different. Let me take the word make out, okay? Because so many people think that I don't have to do anything, and that if God really wants me to be some influencer for his kingdom, that he's just going to wave his magic God wand, and poof, that's what I'll be. If you haven't gotten anything else out of the study in Romans, you need to understand that you are expected to be an active participant in the process. The word predestined in verse 29 is the Greek word prohorizo. It's where we get our word for horizon. The horizon is the limit between sky and earth. And the Bible says that you have predestined and that the limit of your existence is to be like Jesus. It's already forecast for you. If that's God's plan for your life, if God's plan for your life is to be conformed to the image of his son, if his plan for your life is for you to be like Jesus, then this explains Jesus' teaching when he says, look, if you'll pray to that mountain and have it cast into the sea, it will happen. It explains Jesus' promise where he said, the works that he does, you'll also do, but you'll also do greater works than that. It also explains Acts 1:8 when he says, you're going to be my witnesses. I'm going to give you the power. You understand? This is what's forecast for your life. And we have to ask ourselves the question, then why am I not living up to that? Why? Where is the power? You need to buy into Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we, those of us who have a love for God through Christ, we are God's masterpiece. You also need to understand that that applies to you if you have not made that decision to believe in and belong to Jesus Christ. You see, it doesn't matter who you are. Everyone is created to be God's masterpiece. And everyone has been created anew in Christ Jesus. They have that opportunity. Why? So that we can do good things He planned for us long ago. You're a masterpiece, but you're untapped in your potential. That potential is not realized until you find yourself in Christ anew, and until you desire to pursue the good things that He has planned for you long ago. So where is the power? Why does it elude me? What good works am I supposed to be doing that I'm not? Why do I struggle? And why do my struggles seem endless and defeating? How do I apply this a filter of being predestination or being predestined to do good for God in my life? How do I apply this filter? Well, unfortunately, because the world and because God's ideal is broken by sin, this is what Paul talks about in chapter 7. This is why the three groanings are mentioned in chapter 7. Because the world and God's ideal is broken by sin, we have to fight through what God never intended to reach what God has predestined. You understand that? We have to fight through the things that God never intended in order to get to where God has predestined us. In order for us to live out the forecast of our life, we have to fight through the sin and brokenness of this world in order to get there. Let me remind you of what the Apostle Paul said, the guy that wrote the book of Romans. He said, "Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" And then he gives you the prescription. He says, thank God. Thank God that in this fight, through this world of sin and death, the answer is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is Christ Jesus your Lord? Intentionally, every morning, do you wake up before you put your feet on the ground and go, Jesus, I'm going to follow you today. I'm going to live for you today. I'm going to do the best I very possibly can with your strength in me today to live out the forecast of my predestined life in you, to be conformed to the image of your Son. This is the beginning of where the power comes from. And it comes at the end of yourself and at the beginning of Jesus Christ. You tired? You weary? Is this struggle of fighting through what God never intended so that you could reach your determined purpose, your predestined conformity to Jesus Christ? Jesus gives you an answer for that too in Matthew chapter 11. Jesus said, I need you to come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and let me teach you, because I am humble and I am gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear and my burden I give is light. Paul says, what breaks the toil of this life? Thanks be to God, it is Jesus Christ who breaks the toil of this life. And then Jesus explains how that happens. Jesus says, You come to me and take on my yoke. What that means is you stop trying to do this by yourself. And a yoke is this big piece of wood that harnesses you to something else. It's a farmer's tool from back in the day before motorized vehicles were invented. And you had a big ox, and the big ox would plow the field and do all the grunt work out in the field. But two oxes yoked together could do so much better. And Jesus said, I'm the big ox. And if you will just decide to bring your little ox self alongside of me and strap in, I will help you live out the forecast of your life. I will teach you to do and be what I need you to do and be. Because the kingdom needs plowing and the work needs to get done. And Jesus says, then you will find rest. God wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to have a love for himself. Not of him, but for him. But he knows that not everybody will. You see, he gives you a choice in the matter. He gives you a choice in the matter. And he wants you to choose the filter that conforms you to his image. That's what he's doing. That's what he's trying to bring out in you. He's trying to mix all of the ingredients of your life together to make something good. But if you keep walking by and pouring bile in the batter, he can't get the job done. So that's God's purpose. He chose us. And he asked us to be conformed to the image of his son. So let me ask you to stop pretending today. Let me ask you to stop filtering your life through worldly purpose, through worldly things, through worldly struggle. Apply the filter of kingdom purpose. Apply the filter of being forecast to be conformed to the image of his son. Jesus says, take this upon yourself. Put yourself in this position. My yoke is easy, and I want to teach you. And when you're connected to me, the burden that you carry gets lighter. And you find the good, and you find the rest. You find the calm. You find the hope and the peace that you're looking for. Jesus says, come to me. Jesus says, God says, this is the forecast for your life. While we sing, I would ask you to embrace that forecast. It's not wrong. It doesn't change. But it's what God sees for you. I know because of the virus and stuff, we can't gather down here at the front and embrace and hug and those kind of things. But you need to know that this stage is not a stage, it's an altar. And that while we sing, it's a place where you can come and pray and kneel. You can talk to the God who wants you to know his son. You can find the Christ who wants to help you with the yoke of teaching and strength so that you can fulfill the forecast of your life. I'm in the office most every day of the week. Call. We can sit down and visit. We can do it safely. As the Lord leads, would you choose God's purpose and God's plan for your life through Christ this morning? Father, we ask that your will be done and that we would choose to accept the forecast of our lives, the good that you have determined us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.